The Honorable Chief Justice Annette Kingsland-Ziegler presiding, your silence is commanded.
Please be seated. Justice Dallet, are you still on the phone?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. We are reconvening, and Judge Stark, you're up to bat still.
Thank you very much. As to a couple of other questions and comments that were made today, first of all, with respect to the statistics, my letter of 2022 on page 4 in particular sets forth my comments about the statistics and the survey that was done. And many of the comments that were made here this morning talk about the flaws that occur when you survey only people who are involved and are willing to respond to the survey in the first place. But I did want to point out a couple of things. One of those is that on page 3 I had indicated how I came up with the number of cases per year. I encourage you to look at that, but generally that docket, at least from 2017 to 2021, had approximately 172 cases, which was 34.4 cases per year. Right now there are 18 judges that are assigned to this business court, and if the number of cases continue, each judge is handling about one and a half cases, meaning they are not getting that great experience and expertise that we were hoping they might get if they had this significant docket. I understand that there have been some difficulties in attracting people to the court, but I also have to say that I recall since the court was started and in a number of presentations by the state bar, people have been making people aware of the court for years. The judges are all aware of this court, and they're aware that they can refer people to the business court. So I don't know that it's necessarily a lack of knowledge that is causing people not to pursue the opportunity. I also wanted to note something about the comments related to precedent. There apparently are listed a number of decisions on the Supreme Court website that are decided by these circuit court judges. And I guess as a court of appeals judge, I find that a little concerning. First of all, they're clearly not precedential. Their decision by one judge in one case, in one county, based on the facts in that particular case. And if the judge misapplies the law and someone else is reading it and follows that, that's concerning. In addition, I think that the catalog of opinions gives some ideas to litigants as to how a particular business court judge handles process and how they analyze and apply the law in a particular type of case. And so if I like that and I'm a litigant, I'm going to try and seek out that judge. And the business court model is such that through substitution and otherwise, you can do a fair amount of judge shopping because the number of judges at issue are so limited. But finally,
I just want to make sure I understand that point. If I'm involved in a business court case and a business court judge is assigned to handle my case and I file a substitution motion,
I'm substituted to a different business court judge.
Judge, okay. Thank you.
So I can't certainly choose the judge, and I don't know how that particular judge is selected, other than I assume, for instance, if it's in the 8th District, it will be another judge from the 8th District, although not always. Apparently, I think Judge Morrison mentioned they sent one to Waukesha County for Judge Abrahamian to take. So I'm not quite sure how that selection process takes place, but it is somewhat concerning. And then finally, I wanted to just suggest that I think it is time to end the project. I look at the petition currently, and I want to pause for a minute just to say, as I said before, I'm not opposed to business. I represented many business clients. I found their cases stimulating and interesting as a circuit court judge. Heck, I was even the chair of our Chamber of Commerce in Eau Claire County. So I am not opposed to business interests in any way. And I also want to recognize, as been pointed out by a couple of the justices, that many of the people who are here have volunteered time, and this is just something extra that they feel passionate about. that they want to see to continue. And I respect that and I appreciate that. So to the extent my comments appear to be not positive, I apologize, but I do understand and appreciate what you have done. That said, I do think that there are some recommendations that I would suggest to the court as to how we would proceed. And the first I would suggest is that the court as it exists would stop. We would
Court, I didn't hear that last part of this.
The court as it exists would stop.
Okay, correct. Thank you. Meaning that the current cases, and I agree with Judge Morrison, that have been assigned to avoid delay, to avoid repetition, should continue with the judges to whom they've been assigned. And that we not assign any more cases to the business court judges under the model that we currently have. Second, and distinct from the business court itself, I think we should provide judicial education to all circuit court judges on handling complex litigation, particularly civil litigation and commercial litigation cases. We used to be able to send more people out of state to judicial education, and I know judicial education's budget is very limited, so we haven't had the opportunity to do this. But I think a lot of judges in the state would welcome that, and it would actually enhance their work in all dockets, not just a complex commercial litigation docket. I also then would recommend that the court stop. We take down the decisions that are on the circuit court or on the Supreme Court website, and then have an interested person petition the court to propose an advisory committee to investigate, whether it's this committee or others. Although I would pause to say, I think the recommendations that Ms. Brenner made for expanding the committee and including a number of different voices and ideas are excellent. And then to investigate if there is indeed a need and a problem. How many of these cases are there in this state? Where are they located? How long did they take to come to decision? How are they resolved, through settlement or otherwise? And then look at what other states do. How are their court systems structured? How do they appoint judges to these particular courts? Are they dockets in the traditional sense that we've been talking about, like Milwaukee County, or something different? And when they investigate it and determine if there is a need and indeed something that can be solved, make a proposal to this court for a true pilot project, which would include research, validated research on the need and the options, what's done elsewhere, what do we need here, and then report back to this court. By the way, also recommending that we pursue any funds or grants, because I'm very well aware that there are multitudes of universities and other entities who are willing to take on this type of a project. So my recommendation is to stop the court as it exists. I do personally think that it is not shown to be evidence-based, and there are many, many flaws with it at this time, and that the negatives, some of which Judge Neese mentioned, and some which I have mentioned in my letters, outweigh any benefit as it exists now, and that we reconvene and relook at this issue so we have an, if we're going to do it, a really valid court. And if there really isn't a need, whether 27 other states have done it or not, doesn't make any difference if we don't need it here. So thank you, unless you have some questions.
I have a question that actually you covered what was going to be my major question of, I understood that you thought that the pilot project should not be extended, but I was going to ask you, so what do you recommend? And boy, you came out with the answers that would have been the subject, of course, of my questioning. One last question then for me, thank you, is I know my colleague, Justice Hagedorn, asked Judge Neese what motivates his passion. Quite frankly, the only difference between your passion and his passion is perhaps the decibel level. I had a little trouble hearing you, and
sorry.
I had no trouble hearing him whatsoever. But your passion has been, in my mind, in manifestation since your first letter, I think, in 2017, and if I recall correctly, your letter was, I may be wrong, was attached to the dissent that the Justice Abrahamson had. She thought so highly of your comments that she attached your letter. I wish sometimes she would have attached letters that I had written, but she apparently highly of me, but boy, she attached it and made part of her separate writing. So politics, is that what advancing your passion? What drives your passion in this case?
I think a couple of things. First of all, as you know, I've been very involved in evidence-based research for a long time. And, of course, we make all our decisions based on evidence, but I'm talking about research-based decision-making. And so if we're going to decide to do something as drastic, essentially, as modifying the court system, I really believe that we should have a basis to do that, a demonstrated need and a demonstrated basis for the changes that we're suggesting to be made. So that is a great measure of how I feel. And that's born from having developed treatment courts, developed evidence-based decision-making in Eau Claire County across the board. I worked with developing evaluative measures for different types of treatment courts and setting up standards for treatment courts so that there's processes involved that can be replicated and then studied. Without them, we have no clue whether what we're doing makes any difference or not. So that's part of it. And then part of it was the goals that were stated of the program as originally recommended were that it was to be more fair and efficient and effective and consistent. And I respect that. We want all of our justice system to be that way. But when it was couched in those terms, it smacked to me a bit of saying, as we've mentioned earlier, this interest deserves more than the other interests in the system. And while I know it wasn't intended to be that way, it nonetheless came across. And I firmly believe, and I've always taught, that everyone who comes before our court's case is important because it's absolutely the most important case they're ever going to have. And while I definitely understand practically you don't devote as much attention to a small claims case as you would to a large claim commercial case, both are very, very important, and they deserve our utmost respect and attention. And I didn't want something representing our justice system that in some way seemed to diminish that. So that's where my passion comes from.
I just want to say, Judge Stark, thanks for your letters and the time that you put into this. I know you don't get paid on the clock, but obviously this is time away from, you know, other things. And I know you spend a lot of time working to improve the judiciary. So genuinely thank you for that. And I think you make a lot of really important comments. I wish there was some more data this far along in the system. And I think you make some really good points. One question I wanted to ask you, though, is this isn't like a dramatic thing when you look at court systems around the country. And it sure seems that lots of other really smart people who are thinking about how to better structure a system so that those who need to avail themselves of ensuring their contracts are enforced, et cetera, have efficient ways to do that, think that something like this is worth trying. And that at least suggests this isn't something terribly destructive to the judiciary or its independence, and that perhaps there is a felt need coming from somewhere that even a majority of states around the country, including every single state around us, and Illinois, Minnesota, others, think that something like this makes sense. Now, maybe what we have set up, this pilot project, doesn't work well. Maybe it's not accomplishing its goals. But I don't know that that doesn't mean that we can't improve it or learn from it or say that this idea still needs further study, not necessarily 5 years down the road, but we can continue to work with the experiment we're undergoing. We're hearing now we'll get some more data in a couple of years. Understood. We were supposed to have some of that now. But I'm perplexed by that there's no need or there's no concern when – at least it seems to me, and again, I don't have the data or surveys necessarily that say it, but the other people who are studying this question sure seem to think there's an issue worth addressing about whether those who have business cases want to come to state courts and feel good about the way those are going to progress.
You know, I don't disagree with that. I absolutely understand that there are people, many in this room and others, who believe that there is a basis for this court. And I am not saying there is not a basis for this court. And I think part of my recommendations are, though, we need to take a step back. I think that the court may have merit in certain jurisdictions. Again, I think part of the difficulty in this court is we're moving cases from one county to another county. No one's quite sure how it's all happening. It seems to create different classes of jurists. Just a perception, not necessarily, of course, not true. But nonetheless, I think that we could step back. How do they handle it in Illinois? Is there just a complex commercial litigation docket in Cook County? Or is it for the whole state? Do all the cases in the whole state go to Cook County? I don't know the answer to that. And I don't think the people in the advisory court know the or board know the answer to that. Those are the kinds of things that we should be looking at to structure how we consider doing things here. I do have to tell you, in 2017, when I wrote my letter, I worked with my then law clerk, now staff attorney, Betsy Utecht, to try to find information and data online about the efficacy of the other courts and how they were established. I couldn't find any. I know that there's now this most recent 2024 article in the ABA, but from what little I understand of it, it clearly indicates there's all different types of courts. They're all constituted differently. They all handle different types of cases. And so as a result, you can't compare. Well, first of all, we don't have any data with which to compare, so that's part of the problem. But we can't compare their benefits, if you will, to anything we're doing here, because it's like apples to oranges. We just have no justification for doing that. So I'm not disagreeing with you that there may be a need, and maybe this, what I'm suggesting is a reconstituted committee that's expanded can show business interests are leaving the state because they don't have a business court, or maybe they're flocking here because they think we might, or maybe it's not making a difference at all. And I've heard both positions here today that, you know, Judge Neese, I have to tell you, I knew of Judge Neese before he was a judge because he was a civil litigator and he had a very excellent reputation doing business work. And so when he tells me that, and he does mediation now, that he's not hearing there's issues with respect to how state court judges generally handle these cases, I do give that a lot of credence. That being said, it's anecdotal. And I shouldn't be relying on anecdote to make my decisions. I want data. And we can get that. I know we can get that. Now, it's a lot to ask an advisory committee of several people and judges with full calendars to do that. But as I said in 2017, if we're going to do it and do it right, we really should have allocated some resources initially. And we probably need to allocate some resources if we're going to reconstitute this in some way, to do the research, to assist with it, to store the data, to provide it some way of analysis, and then to report back with different recommendations. That takes a long time, it takes a lot of work, and it takes people with some expertise. So I just think there's a way we could do it that's instituted, I don't know if I'd say better, but what I should say is, so that we can rely on it and move forward in a real productive way. And you know what? Maybe it's going to show there is no need. Then we'll know that too. But right now, we're hearing there's a need, but we don't have any evidence to support it one way or the other, other than anecdote. I don't want to ignore that if it's, you know, if there is a need, but we need to know exactly what it is and how to do something about it. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Judge.
Skylar Croy.
Good afternoon. I learned this morning that all good arguments start with, may it please the court. So may it please the court, I am Attorney Skylar Croy with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. I have 5 points that I'd like to make, but I'd also like to start by just referring back to Judge O'Brien in the first hearing today, because I think that she made some points that are actually applicable here as well. She said, and I quote, "The wheels of justice would turn far more slowly but for reserve judges." Now, she didn't have necessarily perfect data there were some questions that were asked, I believe, by Justice Hagedorn this morning that she didn't quite know. But there's some intuition behind what she was saying. And the intuition was, we got to get qualified judges, and then we got to pay them, and then we got to train them, and then we got to retain them. Now, I think that that is just an intuitive point about how we maximize efficiency in the judicial system. And there's something intuitive about that that I just don't want us to lose sight of when we're talking about the data and whether the data is good enough. So the first point I'd like to make is that this is really a legislative proceeding. This is not a court proceeding. The rules of evidence don't apply. If we held every piece of legislation to the standard that Judge Neese and Judge Stark have suggested and that others have suggested today, no legislation would pass. And I'll just give an example. There is another rule petition, a DEI CLE rule petition that the State Bar put forward. There is no evidence to support that you can reduce bias through continuing litigation. None. But you know what? That this court's going to hear that too. And I hope that there is the same concern about the need for data when that one's heard. Now, with that being said, let's talk about what data there is. I think it's very telling that everyone who actually uses this program supports it. And in fact, I learned today Jeff Mandel might even support this.
I'm not sure that's what was said. What I heard Ms. Brenner said was that he was interested in being on the committee.
Yes,
but not that. Yeah, so it's possible, and you might be able to intuit that. I'm not able to do that, but I think we need to be real.
I think you're correct, Justice Kroski. I think you're correct, but I will tell you, there are not a lot of things where Jeff Mandel and I are going to potentially even agree. For there to even be potential there, where he wants to serve on a committee, and I'd serve on this committee too. I'm willing to do that if there's a need for it. That says a lot. That absolutely says a lot. I would also like to point out that the Business Court Advisory Committee has collected data. That data is referred to at some length in the letter that I submitted to this court. And all of it points in one direction, and it points towards continuing this program. As I also talked about, the Fulton County Superior Court in Georgia has done studies that appear to be potentially a bit more thorough. And that business court docket reached the same conclusions. Those are discussed on page 5 of my letter. And when we are talking about the data, it's just what more data do we want? And this is it's important to remember it's a pilot project. So if we want to collect more data, we can go out and we can collect more data. But I think that this court, with respect, owes it to the committee that has worked very hard on this to also explain precisely what the metrics are. What is the data that the court would like to see? And on that note, I'd like to turn to my next point, which is that I really think we need to take the temperature down here a little bit. I think that, unfortunately, whatever this court does now, however it acts, if it's anything other than splitting the baby, that people are going to accuse this court of acting in a partisan manner. And that's largely because of some of the comments that have been heard today. So that's really unfortunate, and I think we got to take the temperature down, and we give this another year, 2 years, and we revisit it, and we try and do something that's actually an evidence-based decision. The fourth point that I'd like to make is that we have a uniform, unified court system. And this is nothing that should be surprising to anyone here. It comes from Cook v. Cook, a decision that I know firsthand everyone on this court is very familiar with. And for that reason, there is nothing out of line in our constitutional system about having a judge in one county hear a case in another. This kind of thing happens all the time. Oftentimes I think this court's precedent recognizes that the needs of the state can trump the needs of a population in a county that elected a particular judge. The director of state courts was a Milwaukee County judge, and she now works here as the director. That was at least an implicit decision about what was best in the interest of the state and what would be the best thing to do administratively. The last point I want to make is about this precedent. I guess I made a stupid decision using the word precedent in the letter I submitted. Let's just call it persuasive authority. There is persuasive authority out there now, a body of persuasive authority. I think there's 22-plus opinions on the court's website, and judges can look to those. They're obviously not binding, as apparently there's some concern about that. I'm sorry I used the word precedent. It's just persuasive authority, and there's nothing wrong with having more persuasive authority out there so that people can look at that. They can, if a judge wants to follow it, they can follow it. If they don't want to follow it, they don't have to follow it. I'll just conclude by saying that if this court doesn't want to give a full 2 years, fair enough, but give these lawyers that have been working so hard on this, give them one more year. And as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley indicated earlier, it's going to probably take, might even take a year to wind this thing down. It's going to take at least 6 months. Just let them collect the data, give them clear metrics on what is being asked, and give them a shot. I'm happy to take any questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Attorney Matthew O'Neill.
Thank you. May it please the court. This was not what I expected to be hearing today. I was asked by Laura just to come and give my thoughts on my experience with the business court. I said, sure. And instead, it appears I've stepped into what has all these real emotions and tensions. And I just want to step back and say, from a practitioner standpoint, and I've just got a regular commercial docket. Occasionally, I do family things. Occasionally, I do probate things. Just do all kinds of things. This particular notion, this business court, in my experience, has been really good. And I really have respected and enjoyed the cases that I've had that have been assigned to the commercial docket. I've had a couple in Waukesha, and in both of those cases, the process was very efficient. The attention we got was more than I think we would have otherwise received. The involvement of the judge, Judge Abrahamian, in that case, was extraordinary. In a case, it was a 50-50 case with two guys who owned a company and one tried to fire the other and couldn't. And they hated each other, but we were forced to work together and did. He would not allow it to get out of control, and the case just went on a good pace and got resolved as it should have been efficiently. And so I came away thinking, that's great. Had another case that ended up in Waukesha again and got assigned to this. And again, it was, we got immediate attention as we needed it. It was more efficient than I've experienced in other cases without that level of it being a business court. I think it's a terrific idea. I think it should continue. I had a case that was a business court before Judge Morrison, of all things, which was a hellish kind of case for me because my client was going to have to plead the fifth during a jury trial. Not great. But leading up to the trial, he could not have been more available to parties that were had issue after issue after issue coming up. And again, I'm fending off everything because my client has a very major issue. But it being that extra level of attention from the court was very, very welcome. So I think, in my experience, it's been terrific. There was a question here about arbitration and are you concerned about judges? I can't recall what exactly the question was, but I will share with the court. I'm asked somewhat frequently in my firm, small firm, a lot of small business clients, the business people will come in and ask me when they're drafting contracts, should we have an arbitration clause, should we have a venue clause, should we do this? And when it is a Milwaukee-centric company, a lot of times I'll say we should probably do arbitration. And I mean no offense to anybody, but in Milwaukee, with the level of rotation we have, I can't predict the level of experience of a judge who's going to get a civil case if that's where it gets assigned. And again, I know all of our judges are well-meaning, but experience matters, experience helps, and being able to expect that is important. When the company is located in Waukesha, I'm much more likely to say that's fine. And part of the reason is they had the business docket, and I knew it was there. So these are real issues that come up like in my practice that I deal with, and I view the opportunity of that business court as being a plus, not a minus. Would I love to see it in Milwaukee? I would love to see it. And I think really our chief judge, Carl Ashley, could absolutely convince people to volunteer for it, and I know plenty of judges who would volunteer for it, and they would do it based on experience they have that they want to do these cases. And that's who we as practitioners want to have doing for us. And I just finally, I do want to add, there were some comments about the committee and what their motivations were. And I've known Laura and Nora for decades and decades, and I've known Paul less well, but I know they are all well-meaning people volunteering their time, not trying to do anything untoward. And I know Laura's various struggles with this because she always comes and talks to me about it and says, can't you get some cases and can you help us out? So I'm willing to help out. So I would say I don't think it's a great idea just to throw this in the trash can. I think there is a reason to try to keep this going, get a few of us, more of us on the committee, give some direction what you want to see. But I think this is a really good and positive idea. And I know that, like, the clients that I've had that have ended up steered this way have appreciated it. And we didn't win them all, some wins and losses, but they felt like the judge really was into it, knew what was going on, and was fair. So I'm in full support of at least two more years.
I have to say this, and this maybe will bring everything full circle. As you are talking about the successes that you have felt the business court brought, and as you talk to your clients and how the judge was there and was so responsive and was able to dispose of the case quickly, I got to tell you, I don't think any crime victim in this state ever has said those words. That is to say that for victims of crime in this state, the wheels of justice could not move more slowly. And it just goes back to the point that I made earlier today, that I fear what we have created here are two different tiers of justice. And if you are a business and you are able to handle one of the fine lawyers sitting on to my right on the courtroom, your case will be, you will have a judge who is right there ready to act. But if you are a crime victim, which is just my experience, and I'm sure that there are other litigants in this system who have not benefited from the sort of white glove treatment, which is really what it sounds like to me, we are just doing a disservice to so many other people in this state. It would be great if we could help everyone in the state get through the system quicker. But the fact that we are doing it only for those who seem to me to be the wealthiest and not for those who are in the most distress is just really hard for me to sign on to. And your comments today have just like really solidified that to me. So it's not really much of a question, but sort of an observation and a statement. And like I said, for me anyhow, brings it full circle to this morning. And it has nothing to do with the people on the committee or what they were trying to do, but it just is the truth of what of the way that this has come about and the system that this perpetuates, really.
Yeah, and respectfully, Erna, I agree with you entirely that victims of crime should have as quick, as efficient, as speedy a process as possible and should get the same kind of advantages as anybody else. But I don't view this context as a zero-sum game in any way. I think that there are many, many reasons why the criminal aspect of our court system should be streamlined, should be better, should be more efficient. I've got a partner, Jake Mannion, who does criminal defense. And so I see how that process works from him, from his perspective in defending people. And even on that edge, it still is more cumbersome, I think, than it needs to be. But I don't think anything that happens on the civil side of a court's docket is impeding the efficiency of the criminal sides of the courts at all. So I share your concerns, and I get that it comes off that way. But trust me when I say that because this makes some of my commercial practice more efficient than it otherwise would be, I by no means think we need to be elevated over any other kind of a case. I just think this is a plus. The same way that going to a probate court, go before Dave Borowski, he's been doing it forever. He's going to yell at you, but he's going to know exactly what he's talking about, and it's useful. And it just, like, having that definite, defined experience is a plus. And so I don't think it detracts, and I really hope it doesn't detract from criminal justice for those that need it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your input. This was an exhaustive list of questions and answers and perspectives today, and I appreciate the time and attention everyone has paid to it. Does anyone feel that they want to say a single more word before we adjourn, because I want to make sure every single person in this room has had their say? Do you want to do it again?
I can do it for 3 more hours, and I think you'd all just be very angry with me.
Okay. All right. Then, we will adjourn this hearing, and we will reconvene when the table is set up. So everyone stay tuned, because it's probably a matter of moments before we come back out here. So let us know.